Welcome to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Please join us today as Pastor Jeffrey Campbell leads us in an in-depth study of the Sermon on the Mount. Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 32, and the sermon is entitled, Faithful Eyes.
We have seen how Jesus has been raising the bar from what the law teaches in the Old Testament and what the scribes and Pharisees would teach, and then going deeper and raising that bar. And so over the past few weeks, we have seen how the Lord has done that and how He has challenged each one of us, even in today's time, to do the same thing. Eventually, we will get to one of my favorite parts of this sermon, and that it just talks about going the second mile. And basically, Jesus is laying the groundwork for that now. As He raises the bar, He is calling those who will follow Him to a deeper, more intensive walk with Him, a higher standard, if you will. And so I just want to say tonight, I know that in this, I'm not going to sidestep it, but in this, we are going to talk about some sensitive subjects tonight. And so just be aware of that. But I'm grateful that Jesus addresses those sensitive subjects. It is a sensitive subject to me. Tonight, I'll be very frank with you. My parents, I come from a divorced family. And so it's very, very sensitive to me. And I'm grateful for how the Lord even worked in that situation because statistics say I should not be where I am today. And praise be to God for His work. And here's what I want to tell you. Even though it's hard and even though what we're going to talk about is hard tonight, if you have been touched in some way, here's the message you need to hear before we ever start. Jesus can work through that. And so tonight I pray that as we look at this, you will understand the heart of Jesus. And maybe you need to understand forgiveness of Jesus. Maybe you need to understand Him in a deeper way. And that is our challenge as we go to the Sermon on the Mount. The depth of the lesson tonight is this, is that sin ruins things. The depth of the lesson tonight is this, our hearts are very wicked, desperately wicked, the Bible calls them. And as we understand tonight, we are called with a wicked heart and minds to be led by the Spirit of God. So knowing that we are so undeserving tonight, I just want to whisper a word of prayer before I ever say a word. So let's pray tonight. Father God, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You just hide me behind Your cross tonight, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that I convey more than just words on the paper. God, I pray, Lord, that the people in this room will understand Your heart. And God, I pray, Lord, that in the way that You can, You minister to each one, that You touch those who are directly affected by sins of the eyes and sins of the heart and sins of the mind. Oh God, tonight, statistics say that most people in church are affected by what we're going to talk about tonight. And so God, I pray, Lord, that You will work in only the way that You can, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit. We give You this night in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled tonight's message, Faithful Eyes. Faithful Eyes. As we understand the world that we live in, Jesus addresses those things which cause sin. And those things can be addressed in a drastic way. And tonight, my prayer is that the Lord will minister through this message. Look in chapter 5 of Matthew, starting with verse number 27. We're going to read verses 27 and 28 as we begin. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Point number one tonight is simply this. Lust is rooted deep. Jesus starts out verse number 27 with very familiar words. It is the teaching from the religious leaders. And He starts by saying this, you have heard it, that it was said by them of old. It has been taught for many years. It has been taught for a long time. And as He opens in verse number 27, He gives them the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. So that is the teaching. And Jesus is addressing that commandment of adultery and how the teachers have taught it for a long time. But we must understand what adultery is, and we must all be on the same page of what adultery is. And so tonight, I just want to give you the definition as I see it and as I believe that God sees it is this, is the stepping out of God's design of marriage, of one man and one woman, and having a relationship sexually outside of that marriage. So stepping out of a marriage with someone else. Proverbs 6:32 warns, whoever commits adultery lacks understanding and destroys his own soul. This sin of adultery seems to carry a lot of weight, because it is not only a sin against somebody else that you love, it is a sin against God's design. And so we understand that this person who steps out, even in verse number 33 of Proverbs 6 says, dishonor he will get and his reproach shall not be wiped away. So we must understand the basis of everything we talk about tonight comes off the definition of what is adultery. Adultery is stepping out of a marriage for someone else. We're all on the same page of that, correct? Okay, nod your head and say we're good. I'll move on. As God says, it is marital infidelity. It goes against His design of marriage. That's why it is wrong. It's not wrong because Pastor Jeffrey says it. It's wrong because the Word of God says it. And so God says, my design of one man and one woman for a lifetime, that's the way I designed it. Anything that goes against that is wrong. So we can trace this all the way back to the book of Genesis. But here's where Jesus takes it a little bit further. He says this, if you lust after a woman, then you have committed adultery. And I want to submit to you tonight that lust and adultery is not necessarily an eye problem as much as it is a heart problem. Mark chapter 7, verse number 21 says this, for from within, out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Those are harsh words. And what Jesus is saying simply this in the book of Mark is that sin is rooted deep and it comes from within the heart. But one of the words that he uses in Mark chapter 7 is the word adultery. And so our innermost thoughts, our innermost being is where the issues originate. Proverbs 4 tells us out of the heart the issues of life come. And so we understand that when we talk about this sin in particular, that tonight it is a heart problem. And especially when we talk about lust, it's not an eye issue as much as a mind and a heart issue. And then it becomes an adultery issue. Lust is more than a look. Lust is the second look and the desire that goes with it, that flows through your mind. It is a sin. It moves beyond the eyes to the mind and to the heart. And just as Jesus says, you can murder somebody with your words, here's what he also says, you can commit adultery with your eyes and mind and your heart without going through with the action. There are some people that I have run into, I've worked with, they said, well, if it's just a sin, I might as well follow through with it. That is very, 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 very bad theology, because we understand that God hates sin. And here's what I want you to understand, this is not an excuse to just go on and commit it because you're already guilty. It's the challenge to turn away. And as we're going to see in just a minute, it's not permission. It's a call for Christians to walk deeper with their Lord. He is pointing out that lusting and adultery are both issues of sin. And so tonight, whatever that looks like, we must guard our hearts, we must guard our minds, and stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when we understand, before we move on, adultery and lust are both sins in Jesus' teaching now. But we go a step further. Look at verse 29 and 30. Jesus says this, And if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee if that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. The point number two tonight is we must understand the cruelty of sin. The cruelty of sin. Isaiah 59:2 says this, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face, and you will not hear." The root of the problem is sin. And here's what we must understand. We must understand that we serve a holy God, that he cannot associate with sin, and the Lord calls us to be holy because he is holy. But as his children, we should desire to be like the Lord Jesus. Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin, and he is the standard. But we understand that Jesus is using a hyperbole here. Now, you may have heard those before. An exaggerated statement. Statements that aren't to be taken literally. Some that we may use or you may have heard of. How many of you have heard, "I'm so hungry I could eat a horse"? Yeah, I had a salad for dinner tonight. I'm about that hungry. How many of you have heard, "That person talks a mile a minute"? Or, "I've got too much on my plate"? Or, "It's raining cats and dogs"? All of these are examples of exaggerated statements. They aren't literal, but they paint a picture for us. And Jesus is painting the picture for us in this way. If it is your eye that is causing you the issue, pluck it out. If it is your hand, cut it off. And there are some religions and even some people that have taken this literally, that when they found themselves doing something, they have chopped off their hand. But here's the problem. If it's one eye, if it's your eye that's causing you to sin, and you pluck out one eye, guess what? If it's a heart issue, you still have another eye and you're going to sin again. If you cut off your hand, guess what? You have another hand and you're going to sin again, because it's not an issue of the hand or the eye. It's an issue in the heart. And so what we see is Jesus is saying there are some drastic measures that may need to be taken or that are necessary to keep you away from sin. Here's my question tonight. What are we willing to cut off in order that we can be obedient to the Lord? What are you willing to sacrifice that you can be obedient to the Lord? If you know you have an issue, deal with it. Don't keep sinning. Don't keep damaging that relationship with the Lord Jesus. 20 plus years ago, might have been like 25 now, I was riding down the road, and in those days, two big old cases full of CDs. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember that, right? Oh, I don't go back to 8-tracks now. I'm sorry. But here's what I want to tell you as a young man trying to just find his way in this big old world. I want to admit to you tonight, I had some CDs that carried a different message than what I believed in my heart. I bought these CDs because they were popular. Everybody was listening to it. They had a good beat. I can give you all the reasons. But here's the reality. Jeffrey should not have been listening to that stuff as a believer. So one day, I don't know what it was, the Lord just put it on my heart, and I went through that CD case, and I began to pull out CDs driving down the road. And when I got a handful of them, I rolled the window down, and I just threw them out the window. I don't know if they got mowed over or picked up. I don't know. I'm not telling you to go litter. Please don't blame that on me. But that was a drastic measure. I can identify that as one of the turning points in my relationship with Jesus. Because the stuff that was infiltrating my head was not godly stuff. And here's what we need to understand. If it goes through the eyes, it goes through the mind, it goes through the ear, all of that is tied together to the mind, it's going to get to the heart. And so sometimes there are drastic measures that need to be taken in order to protect what you are feeding on and what feeds your heart. And Jesus goes this far. Sin must be addressed before it takes your entire life. Your entire body will spend eternity in hell. Here's what we need to understand. The cruelty of sin is this. Sin destroys. And if sin destroys, it is like an infection That Jesus says it's better to amputate and save the body versus losing the whole body. There are some visits that I've been on in the hospital. When the infection starts to come in the body, guess what? They go higher than they need to make sure the infection's gone. And so tonight, maybe there is a situation, a root cause tonight that needs to be addressed by you with drastic measures. I'm not telling you to go home and cut your hand off. I'm not telling you that. But there may be some drastic measures. Somebody tonight may need to turn the TV off. Cancel the subscriptions. Walk out. Take the TV off the wall. It's okay to do that. Those are drastic measures. The statistics tell us this. 70% of the church deals with pornography. Are we willing to take this little thing and chuck it in the river if we need to? What drastic measures are needed? And here's what we need to understand. It's more than an eye and a hand issue. It comes back to the heart. It's better to lose a TV than to do damage to your soul. And that is the message that Jesus has and is preaching in this sermon. Jesus is showing us this. We aren't perfect. And oh, how we need Him. None of us in this room are perfect tonight. But the cruelty of sin is sometimes you need to take drastic measures before it takes over you. Look at verse 31 and 32. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So tonight, these are the verses we kind of like to, pastors like to just go on by these verses. Third point tonight, here's what I want you to see, is looking for an excuse. When we move to a divorce, and I want to say this, Jesus goes in depth in divorce in Matthew chapter 19. Do me a favor tonight. If your life has been touched by divorce in any way, if it's close to you in any way, go read that chapter. But in Matthew chapter number 19, as I encourage you to read it, he is challenged by the Pharisees with a question of this, looking for a divorce for any reason. And that was the teaching. If in the day, if your wife burned your food, you could divorce her. The power was in the hand of the man. And one little thing that the man was not happy with, he could just give her a notice of divorcement and it could be gone. But I say that to say this. When he points to, in Matthew chapter 19, he talks about marriage. And here's what he says in verse number 7. The Pharisees say, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So here's what he said. Moses permitted it, but from the beginning, my intention on marriage from the beginning, it was not to divorce. And then he says in verse number 9, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. And his disciples said unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Everybody wants an excuse. The men want an excuse to leave their wives, and even the disciples chime in and say, okay, that's a good excuse not to even get married. Well, is that the plan of God? No, for some people, but not all people. So how do we deal with this issue of divorce? And how do we deal with this issue of adultery? Jesus told the religious leaders, their hard hearts have missed the idea of this God-ordained marriage. And it goes back to the beginning of Genesis. So, divorce in this day was similar to today. Whatever reason you wanted to get divorced, you can go get divorced. And I don't mean this in a smack. In our society today, the church is even involved in that. And here's what I want you to say. Marriage was never promised to be easy. And I hope and pray by all means that you both, it takes two to tango. And if one of them doesn't want to tango, the marriage is not going to work. But even the church has got comfortable with just letting it go. And here's what I want to say. When we think about divorce then, and the reason behind it, in Jesus' day, one of the primary reasons for divorce was this. If somebody seen someone else that caught their eye, instead of committing adultery with them, they would just get a divorce and then go be with that woman, and they have not neglected the law of God. Everybody with me? You see somebody better? You want that person? Adultery? You want that person? You don't follow through with that, but you just give them a divorce and then go do what you want to do. And so that's what Jesus is speaking to here. And he says this, when we understand that part of it, the reason for the divorce leads back to adultery. There's somebody better out there. I will say today, there are many divorces that happen with people thinking there's somebody better for them instead of looking to the one that God has already given them. As we go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 31, we see this. The teaching has been, as long as you put it in writing, as long as you give them a divorce, as long as you put it in writing, and that is permissible. And Jesus says this. Here's the raising of the bar and the standard for marriage and for divorce. Jesus says this. Outside of sexual immorality, divorce should be avoided. I'm going to take you real quick to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24. Verse number 1, here's the law of divorce according to Moses. Here's what it says. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. So that's what the teaching has been. Listen to me, church. When the man has lost the twinkling in his eye for his wife, the teaching is this. Just write her a divorce and send her down the road. And Jesus says, you have been teaching that. People are living that. But here's the standard for the people that want to be in the kingdom of God. The standard is this. Outside of sexual immorality, look in verse number 32. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. It is an issue of the heart. This divorce here is an issue of adultery because somebody wants somebody else. All right, now come back to me. I want to be real and reasonable. I think the Bible gives three primary reasons, really two primary reasons, but I could argue a third. Three primary reasons for divorce. What we have seen tonight, adultery. If somebody steps outside of that marriage, by God's word, it can be over. The second way is abandonment. If you are abandoned and left, somebody walks out the door, especially in a non-believer, let them go. That's what the Bible says. That's the second reason. And I would add a third reason, and that third reason is whatever form of abuse. So all of them, this is the way that I remember them, all of them start with A. All the reasons of divorce start with an A. Adultery, abandonment, abuse. Outside of that, and I want to say this, even if those things happen, divorce may not be the answer. Things can be reconciled. I've seen it happen. God can still work. But here's the bottom line. If somebody's looking for an excuse, they're going to find it. If you're looking for an excuse to sin, you're going to find it. If you're looking for a reason to do something, you're going to, in your mind, you're going to talk yourself into, this is okay because of this. And if we go back to where it began, it's okay to look a second time. The Lord will forgive me. It's okay to desire as long as I don't follow through with it. No. It's okay to divorce. Just go get me a newer model. That's what the world is teaching. And that's what the world in Jesus' day was teaching. Just send her on her way. And here's the reality. If we're looking for an excuse to do something bad, sin, we will definitely find it. But that doesn't make it right. And even in the subject of divorce, it can be hard navigating two sides, trying to figure out who's telling the truth and who's not. It affects our church. It affects good people. And so tonight, maybe one of these subjects has touched you close to your heart. There are two emotions that flow, hurt and guilt. For so long, I carried the guilt that I was probably the reason my parents got divorced. It's amazing what games your mind can play on you. And so tonight, if you've been touched by the subject of divorce or adultery or the subject of lust, here's what we need to understand. It's an important thing to guard your eyes, to guard your mind, and to guard your heart with the things of God, not of the world. And tonight, if you need to take drastic measures, I would say take those measures to ensure that you do not continue to fall into the trap that sin has laid for you. Tonight, as we think about the issue and the subject of divorce, I know there are some in this room that have been touched by it. Praise God that there's forgiveness available there. Praise God that He changes us. And so tonight, even in our very best efforts, we fall short. But the bar has been reset. Even if we go out of here tonight with blinders on, we're still going to sin. We're still going to be tempted. And so the challenge is this. When that temptation comes, please run to the Word of God. What is the sin tonight that so easily besets us or entangles us? Will you take the measures to pursue the holiness of God instead of the satisfaction of man? Realizing this bar has been raised. So tonight, I just end this part of this Sermon on the Mount with simply this. Look to Jesus. If lust is an issue, you need to turn to Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus. If adultery, fornication is an issue, you need to put your eyes on Jesus. You need to beg for His forgiveness, and you need to come to Him and put your eyes on Him. Whatever that looks like tonight, put your eyes on Jesus. I want to lead us in prayer. Father God, Lord, tonight we have touched a few sensitive subjects, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that in only the way that you can, that you will use, Lord, this lesson to challenge us, to charge us with your holy word, Lord, that we will continue to walk this road with you, Lord, and to keep our eyes and our heart focused on you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord. We cannot do this on our own. We are weak human beings. And so tonight, God, I just pray, Lord, that you will set up those hedges about our heart and about our mind and about our eyes. That you will set up the hedges around our marriages. That you will put hedges around our kids. And God, I pray, Lord, that in only the way that you can, God, that you will move in our families to make us stronger in you. And Lord, stronger as a church family. God, tonight I put those that are experiencing difficult times in marriage, those who have thrown out the word divorce, God, those who think there's something better, God, I pray, Lord, that you show them the truth. God, bring them back to you, I pray. And Lord, I pray that you lead and you heal hearts and you heal families and you heal marriages tonight. God, I believe you can do that. Lord, set our hearts and minds on you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.